Good afternoon, everyone. Well, I sure hate to hear that Ron wasn't invited to his son's wedding. I hope you had a good week. I hope it has been a very good week for you. I know we've had grass growing real good, so it's been rainy and the sunshine, and it's really been a good deal. I want to thank Mr. Brewer for taking part in my sermon. I want to thank our song leader for taking the end of my sermon. So I think I'll just sit down. You know, I mean, it's quite interesting sometimes how God works things out. It is just amazing. I'm sitting there going like, are you kidding me? So mine's a little different, but you know, they say repetition is a good thing, right? So that's what we're going to go with, okay? All right. Well, I hope you all are ready to get prepared after being at Pentecost last week. I mean, we had a great weekend. I want to tell you, we had a good Sabbath service here, and we had a great holy day down in Cincinnati. It's really, really amazing and really glad when you come away feeling like, wow, I could have listened to more. But you know, in the afternoon, about 3:30, this old body says, I'm tired. But the messages were great. But whenever you want more, then we know that the speakers and God is doing the job, so we understand and getting the message that He wants you and I to have. We know that we have God's Holy Spirit and how blessed we are to be called. You and I have been called. You know, we start this day off with a good day. We have Bible study. We got to be together, and like Ron said, we had a huge crowd. I mean, like you said, we probably had almost, what, 3/4 of people we have here. And after Bible study, we get to have fellowship before we come to church. Then we get to sing praises to God. And then we get to hear the messages. I hope each of us will be using the messages and the strength that we get from God that He gives to us each week. And we take it home and we read and we study because we are called by the living God and He wants you and I to be here. Today, since it's a different subject, let's go to Matthew 5:14. We're going to talk about the light a little bit again. In verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and gives light to all who are in the house." God has called you and I to be a light. Christ is a light to you and me. God is a light to you and I and everybody else. We're to be lights to what? To the world. That is our calling. We are to be examples of God's way of life and different from this world because we know this world is Satan's world. How do we know that? Well, let's put it this way. In the world in the USA, are things changing? Are you seeing a little bit of a change? I'm seeing a lot of change. A little bit of change. It's taking all my change. You know? Change, change, going ching, 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 and there you go. But you know, I looked it up, and we have today, we have 334,755,250 people in the United States as of June 2020. That's a lot of people. But then I looked up, so I wanted to see how many people were in the world. In the whole world, we have 7,753,000,000 people. That was of January, January 31st, first year. Thing about it is, two of the biggest countries, China, has 1.42 billion people. 1.42. About four times what we have. And second is India, and they have 1.35 billion people. Billion. The United States comes in third as far as size of countries. I also want to check out, see how we're doing in the United States. Today we have a $30 trillion debt as of 1/31/22. $30 trillion. The trouble is, we're only taking in around $21 trillion. Now, you and I know, mathematics, that doesn't work, right? We think things are bad now. How bad are they going to get? We need to be aware. We need to understand. If you have a credit card and you make $30,000 a year and you're about $60,000 in debt, what will they do to you if you own anything? They'll take everything you got. That's how people get in trouble with credit cards, because it's so easy to say, yeah, here, this card, just take it. I've been there once in my life, maybe twice, where I was playing with credit cards trying to pay. Things were tight. And I'd pay one credit card with the other credit card and give me a month trying to get caught up. It's tough to do. You get behind, it seems like. So we need to be aware. You and I go to the grocery store. Every week, things go up big time. I used to buy cheese for, I think, sliced cheese at Aldi's for like $1.39. It's now almost $2 in about 4 weeks. That's just 12 little pieces of cheese. Eggs have gone two and a half years ago, I was paying 49 to 69 cents a dozen at Kroger's for a dozen. Now a dozen will cost you anywhere from $2.50 to $2.85 for a dozen. That's what you call increase. So, I need to get with the Dubais. I'm going to start going down visiting them because they have chickens. Oh, but, you know, all prices are going up big time. Beef, everything else. Inflation's at over 8% right now. And it's going to climb. I thought I'd just remind you, since I'm an old guy, and a few old ones around here with me, remember when Jimmy Carter was president? I just bought a house just before Jimmy Carter really got started. And my interest on my house was 8%. I remember my brother-in-law Charlie bought a house 3 years later. He paid 16%. And they had 50-year loans because people couldn't afford a 30-year loan at 15% interest or 16% interest. And it went to 18 was the highest. I know I told my sons here about 2 years ago when it was going for election, I told my kids, I said, I want to tell you what. If this man gets in, I said, you're going to see another Jimmy Carter. I said, because he had a good heart, I think. I really think he did have a good heart. But he wasn't really a good president. You know. And we, the people, paid for it. Just as we, the people, are paying now, and they're loaning millions of dollars to other countries and bringing all these foreigners, and we're paying for it. You and I are paying for all this. That's where this money's coming from, this debt. And as long as we keep doing what we're doing, everything's going to be going up. So we got to be watchful. We got to be alert. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to make you think. We're to warn you of things we see coming. You know. So today, I'm going to speak on something that Mr. Brewer was really talking a lot about. My opening thing is, today we have been and are called to become the lights. We're to become the lights to this world. You and I have been chosen to set an example and to be an example to each other and to help each other. Because that's what God has called you and I to do. We are to be in this world, and we think it's bad now with all the lawlessness, everything that's going on. It's not going to get any better for a while. It may never get better. I don't know. But the point is, you and I got to be aware of what we're doing. And we have to rely on God's word more than ever. You and I must make sure we have our hearts totally using that wonderful Holy Spirit that God gave you and I that we talked about last, that was talked about last week at Pentecost. With that Spirit, you and I are going to be taken care of. We don't have to worry. The other people in this world have no idea what's happening. They don't know what they can do. And we know where the center of our life is and who will take care of us. He promises us. He didn't say it'd be a bed of roses all the time, but he promises us that he will take care of us. And he will, as long as we obey. My first point is Satan winning the battle? With the world? Absolutely. Look at it. We have killings going on every week. We have killings of children in schools. We have prices going up, gas. I can't imagine what it's going to be in another year. Now, the thing that seems so weird to us is we can understand and see what's going on. And you're saying, why is a man not using our own resources so that we can have gas for $2 and something a gallon? Does that make sense to anybody? Doesn't make sense at all, but you see, vanity, vanity, always vanity. That's what the man talked about in Ecclesiastes. He would not, will not admit that the former president was doing anything right. And he's cut down everything the first day he was in office. And now we have what we have, and it's just gotten worse. We are experiencing 8% inflation within a year and a half. We're facing $5 to $8 or $9 a gallon for gas. I was going to bring a gallon jug and say, can you believe this is worth $5 and sit there, you know? Electric, gas. I got a thing from my electric company saying my electric's going to double. I said, double? Now, I understand a little bit of a raise, but that's a 100% raise. It's either this month, June, I'm getting it, or next month, and I couldn't believe it. And gas is going up, natural gas for things. Everything is going up. Today, evil is good, seems like, because it's gaining, right? And good is evil, That's what God talked about. The whole world is in Satan's hands. And I'm sure that he is thinking, I'm showing God, I see what I can do. Because you see, he has so much vanity, he cannot see. It's no different than the world. God has opened your mind and my mind to understand his truth. And once we understood and we said, yes, sir, thank you, sir, and realized God has a plan for you and me for eternity. It is not a short-term plan. It's to be in his kingdom with him, with Jesus Christ, with the angels, and with others who will finally, we'll be able to help guide and direct to God's way of life. We'll have an initial part into it. When I say that evil is good and good is evil, all you have to do is look in the streets. You see people breaking into windows, taking out jewelry, people going to grocery stores, drug stores, taking all this stuff out. That's stealing. And nothing's been done. You see people hitting people on the streets. I've seen a few news things where one guy came up behind an older lady and just smacked her hard as could be. And I'm sitting there going, and people don't do anything? They don't do a thing. Now, when I was a kid, I remember in a restaurant that if you went to a restaurant and you swore, there'd be a guy beside you saying, sir, you need to apologize now. And they meant now. And I'm from an old little coal mining town, and hey, we were not exactly saints, but the point was we had respect for people, especially for ladies. And if that man had not apologized to the waitress or whoever it was, they would have stepped outside, taken care of it immediately, one way or another. Now you may say, wow, that's pretty nasty. Well, it is, but you know what? Where there's no justice for anything you do, then you just keep doing it. And that's why the world is getting worse and worse. Satan thinks he's winning, maybe for the short period, but he also knows it's only a short period. But with his vanity, he's happy for the moment that he sees what he has taken with the people that he brought out of Israel and how we have changed and gone away from God. You and I know that we've been called out. And we are to be that light. We are to be the shining light to all people. And with that, God's Spirit will be in us totally. We will be walking in the light of the living God. And that's where we're to be. We're going to have to come up against things, and we have to have total trust, total obedience, and we have to grow and understand whatever it may take that we will obey God. It was talked about a little bit in Bible study today, a little bit, but you know, as people see us, they know us on the outside. And God says we're to grow and have a pure heart and pure mind. And that's what you and I need to do. So we will not let Satan win. God won't let Satan win. We are to be winners. So we're fighting Satan. That's number one point. We're going to fight him every day. Because he hates you and me. He hates anyone who loves God. And his goal is to destroy any of us. That's why we always have to have our armor on. Point number two. Our God called us to be the light of God's way. We are the called ones. In Matthew 20:16, if you'll turn there. That's not what I wanted. I must have went to the wrong place. Is it Mark 20:16? I want to talk about what I wrote down. Nope. 16:20 maybe? Where's that, Joe? I'm looking for many are called, but few are chosen. I can't think right now. What is it? I had it right. Matthew 20:16. Well, I have Matthew. It says, last will be first, and the first shall be last. There you go. I went right over it. I'm sorry. So the last will be first, and the first shall be last. And the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen. That's such an important part in our life. We have been chosen by the living God. We've been given the opportunity. And we accepted the calling that God gave us. And we're to walk in the light of Jesus Christ right up to God. We are to be a part of that family. We're going to be the ones who help and are happy that we're going to see Satan go down and see Christ take everything away from Satan. You know? And he will be the one that you and I will finally see get what he deserves. He has blessed us, God has, with the opportunity of being a part of his family for eternity. The family that will live with him for eternity. You and I are to be these lights. As Christ is the light, Christ has been the light to you and me. Turn with me to Acts 2:18 if you would. In Acts 2:18, it says, let's go verse 17. And it shall come to pass in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to be to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. For David says concerning, I foresaw and the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh will also rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of joy in your presence. That's what we're going to receive. Same thing that was talked about there with David. We're going to be looking forward and being a part of that kingdom forever. And God will take care of us. And you will walk. You will walk in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, being a part of the family forever. That is what you and I have been called to be a part of. That's what you and I have been blessed with. So we must continue to be the lights. We must overcome the world and not let Satan overcome you and I. Because the only way we'll ever make it is totally being devoted to God. So we need to study and be sure that we are doing God's will. Being sure that Satan cannot find a crack in our armor. So that you and I will continue to walk in Jesus' footsteps and right into God's kingdom. My third point is, our home will be with our God and Jesus Christ in God's holy city, New Jerusalem. Turn with me to Revelation 22:12. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give you to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Then if you go with me right over to Revelation 21, verse 16. The holy city that you and I are going to live in. Remember, Christ talks about the mansions. He's going to prepare the mansions or the homes. The holy city is laid out in a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he manages the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. How many noses? How many of that is? It's in my margin, but I'm going to ask anybody to know how big that is. It's 1,380 square miles, 30 miles, high and wide and around. That is over half the United States. That's the city that you and I will be a part of. That's the city that God has constructed. The construction of its walls was as jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundation of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, and the third chalcedony, and the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, and the seventh chrysolite. The eighth, beryl, and the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, and 11th, jacinth, and a 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls each. Individual gate was one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold like transparent glass. Can you even imagine what we're talking about in beauty? Do you realize what we consider one of the best things there is gold, because the standard is gold, and it's going to be your streets that you walk on. It's going to be one of the least things. But it's going to be pure gold streets. And you're going to have. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the light, neither the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of the God illuminated in it. The Lamb is its light. Now do you know why no one could look at God? Can you imagine one light, two lights, covering up that many miles, over half the United States, bright as can be? It seems like it's something that is beyond our imagination, because we've never seen anything like it. We've seen bright lights, but it's been small areas. But the city of the living God is 1,380 mile square and height that high also. That's higher than most airplanes go. Not the big jetliners then, but that's high. 1,380 miles. That's way beyond their room. But anyhow, and there shall be no light there, no night there. And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall be by no means enter into anything that defiles or causes abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you and I are going to be in that Lamb's Book of Life forever. We're going to be a part of God's kingdom forever. We're going to be the first fruits. The ones who will be helping all those who come later. You know, we have a lot to do in our lives yet. We're here till the day we die. Until the day we die, Satan, the evil one, is out to destroy you and me. He wants to take the light away from you and I. He doesn't want us to be a light. He wants us to burn out, get broke, or become a dud. But Jesus Christ and God says all we have to do is what? Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Kingdom of God. Was talking about his holy city. It's going to be a part of the kingdom of God. It is something you and I cannot imagine. How beautiful it is. How wonderful it is. And how great it will be to be there. We will see things and be amazed in every way, I'm sure. Because as physical beings, I'm sure none of us has ever seen anything even come within a midgen of what we're going to see in God's kingdom. All the beautiful things, you see beautiful castles and you see different places. Nothing is going to compare to God's holy city. Never. You will be at the pinnacle place of everything that God has, because that's where God is working from. He'll be working and will be working from God's holy city. And there's a place that he has for you and me. Each and every one of us. And the only way we can lose it is if we quit. He never gives up on us. He wants us to shine brightly and to grow in talents that we may shine more and more every day. As we go out into the world, they will notice we are different. And we are. Because we've chosen to serve God and do God's will. And with that, He has blessed us so much. Because we have the knowledge. And we have a direct line to Him every day. Every second every day if you want. He loves each and every one of us. We're His children. And He has a place. He says, here's where I want you to be with me. Finish the race. Finish the race. It's only a 100-year period. I'm giving you eternity. And many of us will never live to be 100. But most people will die before they're 100 years old. But God says it's just a mere 100 years. And we're saying, wow, that's an old person. You get to be 100 years old. You know? Not to God. It's just like, beep. But what He has in plan for us is He knows is the thing we need. He knows He wants us to be with Him for eternity, carrying out His plan and being a part of it. Your light and my light, is it shining? The only way we keep our light shining is we study, we pray, and most of all, we obey. Because if we let out in any way, God will bring us back as long as we repent. Isn't that wonderful? That's why we have the holy days, pointing out God's way of life. Passover is time to what? Double check ourselves. I don't know about you, but sometimes I go back past when I came into church and I can't believe what I know I'm going to have to repent of. And then I say, boy, will I face these people in the world tomorrow? And they'll say, I remember what you did. Oh, yeah, you did it. And you know what I'm glad to say? Yeah, I did. I'm sorry. Vine McLaughlin, I think I told you before, one time told me after being in church a few years, she thought I was the most vain person she'd ever met. And sometimes when I look back in my life, I didn't think so, but you know, that's because of the time I let it go by. But when you come to Passover and you start looking back and all of a sudden something pops in, you go, ooh, did I do that? I'm sure all of us have had that moment where we say, wow. And I say, wonder if I'll get to help that person in God's kingdom if I continue on the road of serving God and being a part of His family. Will I get to see that person? Wonder what they're going to say. First thing I have to say is, sure good to see you and I'm sorry. Because I have to admit that I did wrong. You know, whatever it may have been. But you know, you have the humility just as Christ wants us to have. Because we're going to be perfect then. We're going to be perfect in God's kingdom. That's the goal. If this light of yours and mine keeps shining, hopefully it'll just get a little bit brighter each year. And it'll be a part of the divine kingdom forever. That's the calling you and I have. In Matthew 6:24, what does it tell us? We have to make this choice every day. Well, most of us probably. One way or another. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And of course, mammon's riches. In this day and age, Satan's world, people will lie, steal, cheat, sell you out where they can for money. Because money is their God. Power is their God. If you don't believe it, how bad this world has gotten? I don't believe probably 100 years ago that if you lied like the politicians do today, that you'd ever been allowed to be in office. I mean, they prove them downright lying to you. And yet they're still in office. When I was a kid, and that's only been about 70 years ago, 60 years, 65 years ago. Well, it's been a while back. Time flies when you're... But you know, if you were known as a liar in my area, of course, it was a small coal mining town, nobody would have anything to do with you. I mean, for you to run for office, that'd been suicide because everybody would say, he's a liar. In the small communities, it passed in a hurry. Just like I was telling you about the guy telling the guy not to cuss in front of a woman, the waitress. We had a lot of wrong things we did, don't get me wrong, because when you live in a small coal mining thing, there's three things you do. You work hard, you play hard, and you fight hard. And you may think that's funny, but that's true. In a small coal mining town, that's the way it went. Because a lot of them went out and got drunk on the weekends, and then they fought. It just one of those things. Marianne's laughing. She's down from the area. She knows. But it's hard to believe because in the other areas, you wouldn't have thought that. But in a small Ohio country, down the coal mines, take West Virginia, Kentucky, and all those areas where they worked hard, and they, you know, it was a rough life. I went down one of those holes one time to go down a shaft when I was about, probably 13 years old or 14 years old. I decided right then and there, folks, I was not going to be in a coal mine because it was nice and big where you went down, but buddy, then it got down to about 5 foot high tunnels. And I knew I did not want to go back in no tunnel like that because I saw my uncles and them come out. They'd be black as black. I mean, they had to shower and take a bath before they came home. They were so black when they come out of those places. And they didn't have fans and stuff back then, so I'm surprised a lot more people didn't die. They had a canary in each one of the tunnels. If the canary died, they all tried to get out because that meant there was gas. And they had the canary up high, and that's where the gas goes first. Well, God has given you and I same type of deal. His word. His word is our life. This is our life. You can't read it enough. You can't study it enough. And the more we read and study, the more we will truly become closer to God, and we'll be working towards that kingdom. So let you and I be sure, as it says in Revelation 3:10-11, we'll go there, but it tells you, let no man take your crown. Let no man, no person, take your crown. Because it's your crown to have. God has called you and I to have this crown and to be with Him for eternity. But you can lose it. I can lose it. That's why we're to be brothers and sisters to one another, help one another, have someone to talk to if you have to, whatever. I think about 40 of you said Mr. Marker after service. After services, keep him busy. No, I'm kidding. But you know, it is true. Sometimes we hold things in and we try to figure it all out ourselves. We're not to judge anybody. we're to love each other, we're to care for each other, and we're to be lights to each other of God's way of life and helpers serving one another. You and I have been given the opportunity of a lifetime and also the opportunity of eternity. A lifetime as far as a physical being, but as a spiritual being, we don't die. We don't die. We're with God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Son, and with everyone that we may have had a part in being a part of their lives, whether it be in the church or in the world. You may help that person in a millennium. Or you may help that person before the next, after the next resurrection to be in God's kingdom. Because they're going to be like your children. I've always looked forward since I've been in church, and I hope I finish the race like I hope each of us do, is I'll be able to be with my little brother who I never met. He died before I was born. You know? And my parents had a dysfunctional marriage because my mother was an alcoholic. You know? So they never had a marriage. They got divorced when I was like 3 years old, 2 or 3 years old. But I'm looking forward to the day that someday I can say, hey, let me show you. Let me help you. I'm sure you have people in your family that you're looking forward to seeing and maybe helping. Can you imagine what you're going to do? Think about that. When you get having a problem and things get tough, think about what God has for coming for you. Hopefully, you know, we'll get our families back together maybe if they're divided or whatever else. Love conquers all. God forgives all. All we have to do is repent. So as we are the lights of the living God, let's be sure we walk forward, smiling at, if we can smile at adversity, smile at adversity. Because back in our mind, we know what? God will take care of it. One way or another, God's going to take care of it. If I stay close to Him, He promises that I can be in His kingdom. I can be in that holy city, the wonderful New Jerusalem. And I want to be there with all of you and everyone else. We will have a lot to talk about. And do you think there'll be excitement when Christ returns? You think you're just going to sit there and say, well, here comes Christ? Or are you going to be having a joyous time of your life realizing if you're there, you made it. Your light shone. You live by God's way of life. And your light has been good. And now we're receiving the crown of goodness from the living God. So as we go forth in our lives, especially after we've come back from Pentecost, we're heading down to the final count. We're heading towards the Feast of Trumpets, God's next holy day. That next holy day is very important to you and me. Because it's the first holy day that's been fulfilled since what? Yeah, that's right. Since Pentecost. And every day we're getting closer to it. We need to make sure that we never give up. We need to make sure that we study, we pray, we ask God for strength, ask Him to show us. And that we help one another in any way we can. For we are being prepared to be God's family.